Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
Don't you hate when grill lids, there we go. Man. I like to cook out, okay? Don't judge me. Last week, we did talk about some fire. Tonight, we're actually going to bring it. It's going to be fun. Can you hold my mic for me?
I had to light this. Oh, dude, I thought you were asking me to light it. I was like, heck yeah, I'll light it. Just let the... Yeah, you might want to turn that off again. Letting all the gas build up. And we light it and it explodes.
There. It's time to do some cooking, guys. You excited? That's right. Well, just hot dogs, actually. So, you know, every good cookout has to have Mountain Dew. That's something I've realized. I know why you guys are cheering. I haven't ate dinner. That's why I'm cooking. I was hungry. Chris is going to be my grill assistant here. He doesn't know it, but he's going to hold these hot dogs for me. Can you hold... Don't eat them. They're not cooked yet. I'm going to cook some hot dogs. You know, one of my favorite things, this is fall, but you know, you can cook out year-round. That's something I've realized. And there's nothing greater than just the smell of a cookout. I absolutely love it. Like when our neighbors fire up the grill, it makes me just want to fire it up. We just bought a new grill, actually. It's great. This is not my new one. This is actually the church's grill. But I'm using it. It smells good. It smells good. I'm loving it. That's right. There we go. You can set those over there for now. Those will be done in a few minutes. I think that'll stick. There we go. Yeah. Look, I can multitask, okay? I can cook dinner and preach at the same time. Have you guys ever found yourselves... Like you're outside and something smells awesome, the neighbor is grilling some hot dogs, and then all of a sudden you're like, what's that smell? Man, what's that smell? It smells amazing. You know, sometimes when you ask that question, it's a good thing. Sometimes maybe it's not such a good thing. And you know, smells in our minds, they literally trigger responses. And I looked this up because I didn't want to sound like I didn't know what I was talking about. But in your brain, in the cortex of your brain, it says that the brain interprets the smell and the scent that comes into your nose. When the cortex interprets that, it literally stimulates the deepest part of your brain. It triggers an emotional response. That's why sometimes you can smell something and it takes you back to a place. So if you don't like burnt hot dogs because you had a bad experience somewhere where somebody burned hot dogs, then you might not want to... No, I'm just joking. You'll smell them in a minute. They smell good. They can actually trigger and bring back memories that are long forgotten, things that maybe you didn't even know, things of comfort. Maybe it's something of fear or anxiety. Maybe it's something of disgust. Maybe it's something that like you felt so hopeful or so excited. Maybe it's a feeling of love. You know, I have candles in my office. I have candles in my office. Don't judge me. They're manly candles, okay? They are. They smell good. Some of you have been in there and you're like, what is that smell? It smells great. So, oh man, there we go. This girl likes to like lock itself shut. So, is it ironic that the front of my podium is actually grill parts as well? Oh, I just burnt this one. Oh, that's all right. It's okay. Don't judge me. Somebody just asked if I was going to toast the buns, and I'm like, man, I'm not that talented. I just burn stuff. That's what I do. There we go. Yeah, it's like peeling off, man. All right, we're going to keep those cooking for now. So I got these candles in my office, and it's great because when I feel stressed out or I feel a little bit of anxiety or maybe I just need to focus a little more, I'm going to go ahead and turn that down a little bit. I'll light a candle, and it helps me to relax some. I'm like, oh, this is so much better. But it's a good smell. It helps me relax. And we've all smelled nasty smells, and back to my office, I have a jar in there because some of you don't know how to control bodily functions. And when you let out something that smells bad, I make you pay money. And the first month I had it, I made $60. So A little bit of self-control goes a long ways. Fruit of the Spirit. Can you smell these hot dogs? Do they smell good? All right. We're getting there. They're definitely cooking. I don't know what it is about a cookout that is just so good, but it just inspires me every time I smell it. I just feel like summer and the beach. Yeah, you feel like a man when you're cooking food. It's great. So we're getting there. These hot dogs are almost done. So I grew up in a farmhouse. Any farmhouse people here? Yes, there's a couple. And in a farmhouse, you find out things sometimes have gaps in the walls a little bit, which means critters can get in, which means mice come in, which means mice will die in the walls sometimes. And the smell is just horrible. And so I grew up with that smell. And one time, a couple years ago here at the church, going into the pastor's hallway into our offices, we could smell that. And I'm like, I know this smell. I know this. This is a dead mouse. I know this. And they're like, man, it stinks. And pretty soon, like, the whole hallway down here up towards the main sanctuary stunk. And it kept getting stronger and stronger for a couple days. And what we found out was a mouse had gotten in the wall and had been crawling around and fell into one of the return air vents and couldn't get out and died and decomposed and was rotting. And so every time the furnace would come on, it was sucking that smell in and then blowing it back out. And it was just this nasty stench. I was like, ugh, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It smelled. Some of you that are doing No Shower November, you smell like this dead mouse right now. You're like, I'm only halfway. I'm going for it. It's No Shower November. All right. All right. I'm just saying. This was that smell, but stronger with this dead mouse. But once we pinpointed the problem, we were able to get rid of the smell. But it took a little bit of time. So these hot dogs are actually done. Did I bring out plates? Yeah, I did. Cool. All right, we got ketchup too. Chris, I need a hand with this. Let's dish up some hot dogs here. Here, I'll dish them up. You bring that. Yeah, I don't. There you go. Let's do it. Yeah, we can just do that. I need you to open these up here. I'll just put some ketchup on each one. Look at this. See, Chris works at A&W, so he can do this like a million times faster than I can. Love it. Hey, you're better than I am. Here we go. All right, Chris, if you can put a little bit of ketchup on those for me, that would be great. So got dinner cooked. Doing well. Safety first. Turn off the gas. Don't want to die. Not today. There we go. So that aroma of hot dogs is in the air, and it smells so good. Smells so good. Chris is going for it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give out a couple hot dogs to you guys. I'm sure there's a few people that are hungry. Well, it's not just a hot dog. You get a can of Mountain Dew with it. All right. I think Lauren wants a hot dog. I'll get you one, Miranda. Hold on. I'm going to serve the ladies first. Going to serve the ladies first. Hold on, Miranda. I'll be back at your hot dog. Give me a minute. I'm working on this. Okay, I don't work in a restaurant, all right? I have bad customer service skills. All right. The only requirement is I'm giving you caffeine and food. You can't get up through the message and use the bathroom. I think half of your hands just went down. You're like, I can't do that. I can't do it. Looking for people I know that would be able to do what I have asked. Nahum, you could do that. You could do that. Come on to Nahum. You guys can eat and drink them now. It's fine. It's no worries. All right. Dylan, you could do this. You could do this, Dylan. We'll get you there. All right. We're getting there. Aubrey, Becky, come up here. It's going to make this a little faster for me. I'm not a quick waiter, okay? And then David, I think there's one left for you. You got to sit down, Jonathan. Okay, that'll be David. Becky, got some pop-up here for you guys. Come on. Yeah, if you want me to wait on you, you got to wait, okay? I'm not fast at this. How many we got left, Chris? One more? One without a plate. Apparently I can preach, but I can't count. Tyler, I see that hand. See, Tyler was humble. Everybody's like, dog, dog, and Tyler's like, can I have some, sir? So we've all experienced good and bad smells in our lives. Now, a good smell is that pleasant, attractive smell that attracts you into something. So today, the guys and I, we went down to a restaurant called Jumbo. And it is amazing Cajun food. And the second I walk in there, like, my mouth begins to water. I'm like, oh, this is so great. Or you've all walked into those clothing stores where they have, like, perfume and cologne. Not the ones that, like, choke you, like Hollister. No. Like, you go into, like, a normal store, and it's like, man, it smells good in here. Like, it makes the experience of spending money a little more comfortable. When you step outside in summer and you smell the cookout, you're like, man, that smells good. I want to be friends with this neighbor. But then you find the bad smells, and the bad smells are the offensive ones, and those can stop you from going into a place. They can put you on guard. You're like, something is not right. What is going on? And it's because it's offensive. It's because the smell is offensive. And now spiritually, we put off a scent. Spiritually, we have this aroma that comes off of us. Maybe we don't always realize that we do. But the question is tonight, do you smell like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus? The immature ones are like, ha, 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 ha. But the ones that can really start to think what that means for a second, do you smell like Jesus? Does your life give off the aroma of the one who saved you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you, Lord, that our lives are to be attractive to those around us, that we are to be those who are in the world but not of, that we are to be set apart, that we are to show others something different. Father, I thank you that you've called us into relationship with you. And God, I thank you that no person has ever been too far gone to be saved by your love and your grace. It's a gift freely given that we only need to just accept. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you brought a Bible, if you have your notebook, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. This is our text verse for the message tonight. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 15. If you're flipping there, if you got a few minutes, just write it down. You want to hold that reference. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 15 says this. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. You get that? God wants to use us to spread the aroma, the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Right there, you as a Christian give off an aroma. You give off an aroma. It should be a reflection of how you are inside. Now, Matthew chapter 23, if you got your Bibles, I want you to put your finger into 2 Corinthians, flip over to Matthew 23. And this whole chapter really deals with some smelly things. You find an entire chapter set apart for bad smells. And this deals with the Pharisees. This entire chapter. What we see is the Pharisees were people who were super religious, but they lacked a relationship. They had the knowledge of God, but no real experience. Now, Mandy touched on this in prayer time today. You know, you can have knowledge of something, but until you have a revelation, a revealing of that, it's totally different. In the book Jesus Culture, Banning Liebscher explains it as he liked to watch boxing. And Evander Holyfield, everything he studied about him and read, he's like, this guy hits hard. So if you asked him, does Evander Holyfield hit hard? He's like, yeah. He has the knowledge of that. But until he put on the gloves and got in the ring and lasted about 3 seconds and got knocked out, had a revelation of how hard he hits, did it really become real? And it's the same way with the Pharisees. It's the same way in their mindsets. They have all of this knowledge, all of this religious duty, but they have zero relationship with God. It was all about works. It was all about knowledge and routine, but zero growth. And Matthew 23 explains to us that they burdened others with impossible religious requirements, that everything that they did was for show. It was for praise, that they liked titles. They liked titles, things like rabbi, and they liked the places of honor. What it came down to is they sought positions without having the posture to support it. They sought the position without the posture. Now, position without posture always fails. And you hear your parents, good posture. It's because it supports your spine and your body correctly. Position without posture will always fail. Now, Jesus, he called them so many crazy things, but a few of them were blind guides. He called them hypocrites. And that word alone right there literally means to be someone who acts in a play. It means it was just all for show. They were just acting, that there was nothing in their life. It was just like going onto a movie set and acting out a character. They were one way in front of people, but that's not really how they were. He called them out for lacking justice and mercy and faithfulness. And then he contrasted their actions with that of a servant. So in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28, that's all the backstory of these three verses. It's in a section called the Seven Woes. It says, woe to you. Basically, it's a warning. It means you guys are in for it. Woe to you, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of a cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. When I read this, I think, whoa, what happened to little Jesus, meek and mild? I mean, this is some serious things he is saying about these Pharisees. But it gives us a great glimpse because it shows the heart of a true king. A king that sees through all of the fake. A king that loves justice and mercy. A king that wants relationship to the point where he's willing to say hard things to people who think they have it together. Jesus saw through it. These Pharisees, when people get around them spiritually, they go, man, what is that smell? What is that smell? Not in a good way. These guys stunk. They did not have the aroma of God. They did not have an essence of holiness. They were filled with works and with acts. Let me tell you something. The world can tell a fake. If you're authentic, even if the world doesn't agree with you, if you're an authentic follower, the world knows. They may fool some, but the world knows a fake from the authentic. They can tell a smelly fake from an aromatic follower, one who gives off the aroma of Jesus. And these Pharisees, when you begin to look at their lives, just as Jesus said, they looked great on the outside. They looked like they had everything together, but inside they were just full of death because they did not have relationship. So how do you smell tonight? How do you smell? Do others around you ask, man, what's that smell? In a good way or a bad way? Does your life give off an aroma that's pleasing? Do you reflect Jesus? Now, there's a few points I want to hit tonight. Basically, what these are getting at is just a few ways that you can keep it fresh. You can keep smelling like Jesus if you're an authentic follower. And so the reason I word it that way is because if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you haven't given your life to him, the message is the portion of the night where we learn about who Jesus is and what it means to authentically follow him, what it means to be genuine, to really seek him with everything that we have. And so if that's you, if you're not saved, you haven't given your life to Jesus, I'm just going to ask that you follow along with that and hear what an authentic follower would look like. So a few ways you can keep fresh. a few ways you can keep smelling like Jesus. There's a few things you got to do. It's just like our morning routines. There's some things you do in order. There's some different washings, some different things you can use. First thing is to wash in the Word. You want to smell like Jesus, wash in the Word. Colossians 3:16, paraphrase, says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." It means to soak in the message of Jesus. Now, the Word is the main way that God speaks to us. And for those of you who say it's boring, I would ask if you read the same Bible that I do. Because the Bible I read is filled with love and romance and mystery and deception and shipwrecks and war and salvations and trials and fames and poverty and restoration. It's filled with forgiveness and loyalty and an ending unlike anything Hollywood could ever make up or create. That's the Bible I read. That's the Bible I read. So if your Word is not exciting, if you're getting into this and you're struggling to understand it, I would suggest a different translation. You know, the NIV is a great starting point. There's one called the New Living Translation, NLT. That can really, 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 really help you. And all of you have some form of access to the internet. If you don't understand something, get on BibleGateway.com. Pull up a translation, pull up the NIV, and you can click. It'll say parallel. You can click on it. And again, and again, and again, and again. And you can select a ton of different translations. There's times where I'll have 5 different translations up on my screen. And it helps you to get an understanding when it's translated 5 different ways. Okay, this is what God's getting at here. It can take you so much deeper. If you still don't get it, go to blueletterbible.org. Write this down, blueletterbible.org. Click on concordance. You can pull out all the original Greek or Hebrew words, all the original translations. Brings your Bible reading to a whole new depth. But you've got to wash in the Word. It takes effort for you to open the thing and read it. And then try to understand what it's saying to you. But if you can't open it and understand what it's saying, I would suggest a different translation. You need to be spending time in the Word because it's what encourages us. It's what teaches us about the Jesus that we follow. That's why, with me getting up here, you'll never hear me preach a message that's not based in Scripture. And I encourage you to bring a Bible, to bring a notebook. Now, some of you are like, man, it's expensive. If you don't have a Bible, I will personally give you one. Notebook, literally $2 or less. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Myers, you can go just about anywhere and buy one. Write down notes, because when you write it down, you retain a lot more. And it's okay to write in your Bible, okay? You can put notes in your Bible. You can write on the sides. When somebody preaches something, you're like, ooh, that's good. You can write it in the side of your Bible, because the next time when you're reading Scripture, you come across that verse, it's going to remind you of that message. And you're going to be remembered the research that somebody else put in so you could learn about what it is God wants to teach you. You can write in your Bible. It will help you wash later. Point number 2. Wash yourself in prayer. Now, these two go hand in hand, okay? It's like shampoo and soap. You need both if you want to get clean. So, wash yourself in prayer. Prayer changes our perspectives of things. It gives us that proper posture to be able to carry our problems. Now, when you think of working or if you pick up something, your posture is everything. Zach would know this. He's got a job where he lifts stuff all day. If you like slump your core down, you're like, yeah, you're just going to hurt stuff. But if you tighten it up and you get down and you lift right, you can get a lot more done and you're not going to hurt yourself. And spiritually, prayer allows you to gain the proper posture to be able to shoulder the burdens that come in life. Otherwise, you're just straining. You're just trying to lift up this heavy load that wasn't meant for you to carry in the first place. And when you get that proper posture, when you can get yourself aligned with the Word, and you can start to pray and bring it up, you begin to smell like Jesus, because he's cleaning you, because he's teaching you. He's making you more like him. Now, a few years ago, I had gotten home, and I was hungry, so I made some burgers up, fried them in the house, and then Mandy and I ate. And in the house, you could see like the smoke coming up. You know, sometimes greasy burgers do that. And I'm like, oh, man. So the house is kind of hazy, and we head out, and we come to church. And there was like 4 people when we came in. They're like, man, you smell like a restaurant. Why do we smell like a restaurant? Because I cooked burgers. Because we lingered in the presence of that haze long enough that it penetrated in. See, prayer works the same way. When you linger with Jesus, the aroma of Christ begins to permeate into you. You begin to become more like him. Revelations chapter 8 talks about the altar that's before the throne in heaven. And it says in there that as God sits there, the prayers of his people come up like incense on the altar. And it says that it's a pleasing smell to the Lord. Your prayers go up in an aroma to the Lord. But I believe in the same way as you pray, he allows his presence to come down. And he allows you to bask in it. And the more time you smell in that, or you stay in that, the more you'll smell like it. Third thing. If you want to smell like Jesus, rinse out your eyes, okay? Rinse them out. So when I get up in the morning, one of the first things I do, besides hit my snooze like four times, is I get out of bed and I go into the bathroom and I begin to rinse out my eyes. And the reason for that is through the night I sweat. And that sweat gets up in the corners of your eyes and everything else, and I want to put in my contacts. But if I don't rinse off my face first, I put in my contacts, they're all blurry and they burn and it hurts, and I can't see right. I can't see because first I needed to wash. And it's not a whole lot of fun. But if I rinse first, it allows me to see clearly without experiencing that. I want you to get this. To carry the aroma of Jesus, you need to rinse your eyes so you can have the lens of Christ. You need to begin to see like Jesus. Luke 16, 15 tells us that what we as people value in our minds and our eyes is detestable in God's eyes. So what it means to begin to see like Jesus is to begin to see how he would interpret things. It's setting aside your perceptions of a situation and taking on what God may want to do in that. And setting aside maybe some of your priorities for those of kingdom-minded priorities. It's getting outside of your comfort zone and allowing the advancement of the kingdom to be your main focus. Now, our minds can't wrap around everything that God has for us. We can't begin to even believe or fathom the plans or the reasons that he's created all of us for. But if we allow him to show us a little bit of that plan, we begin to have a vision of the bigger picture. Now, Stephen Furtick is the lead pastor of Elevation Church. He's been around for, I think, less than 10 years, if I'm remembering correctly. And in his last message, he shared just a little bit about his heart and his vision when the church was planted. Now, the church began in a basement, just a few people. And it grew, and they outgrew this basement. And they went to a senior center that could seat about 160 people. And they thought they'd be there about 5 to 6 years. That's what Stephen Furtick's saying. He goes, yeah, we figured 5 to 6 years we'd be here. 6 months later, the senior center was filled 2 times over, and they had to move into a high school auditorium. 5 to 6 years into 6 months, God had a bigger plan already. Stephen looked at this auditorium, sat 800 people, and he said to a guy, he said, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we could fill this auditorium? That was his goal. That was like, yeah, we could just fill this auditorium. Man, great vision, great heart. Let's expand, but a limited perspective. They didn't just fill the auditorium. They filled it 4 times over. And now Elevation runs over 17,000 congregants across 13 campuses with hundreds of thousands of people who tune in worldwide every week. Now, Stephen's vision was great for his church. But the mindset of, what if we could fill this auditorium, was limited. He needed the lens of Christ to see the big picture, the big perspective. When God gives you a dream, don't limit it to just what you can fathom it to be. Allow him to birth it bigger. Allow him to keep expanding it, because he's created you for that. You're not created to be average. Use the lens of God's perspective, but first wash the junk out of your eyes. The I'm not good enough, so that I can't do this. The nobody would want me to do that. It would just fail. All of that stuff that builds up in the front. Maybe it's past failure that clouds it. Rinse that out and let Jesus speak to you. Number 4, scrub yourself with inclusion. Inclusion. So Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, Who knows this verse? Come on. I see Selah. She's like, I know this one. I know. I want to say it. You want to say it, Selah? Come on. Just shout it out. Anybody, come on. You guys got this. This is Christianity 101 right here. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, called the Great Commission. We talk about it like every week here. Yes, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the beauty of that, Jesus has commanded us to go out, to make disciples of all nations. Now what I want you to get in this, we'll come back to that verse in a second, is it starts with getting beyond yourself, and it means reaching those who are around you. When was the last time you brought somebody to Rage? When was the last time you shared about Jesus to others? We as followers are called to make more followers. We're called to multiply. But often we treat Christianity as us four and no more. We say, here's my club, here's my people. But that's not what Jesus says. He says to go into the world and make disciples. But to make a disciple means you have to build a relationship, which means you need to go on the journey with them. It's not just go and get people saved and you're gone. It's an investment. It's doing life with people. To be the aroma of Christ means to be on the trip with other people. And nobody wants to be on the trip with a smelly guy. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Okay, so don't stink spiritually. Get the aroma of Christ and then bring people along with you. Allow your God-given influence to be used to reach others. And now we act like travel agents. We get people in the door. We get them signed up. And we're like, yeah, you came to Rage once and you gave your life to Jesus. Amazing. But do we ever follow up? Do we ever say, man, you're going to come back next week? Man, you totally should. You need to get rooted in this thing. Here's a Bible. Let me explain to you how to use it. Let's pray before school, making disciples. See, we bring people in like we're a travel agency, and we say, man, you're signed up for the trip. You've paid. Here you go. Have fun. But in reality, making disciples is so much more. It's being a tour guide. It's saying, all right, you've gone through the travel agent. You got it signed up. Let's go. And a travel agent navigates the entire tour with them. He comes through all of the different paths and he says, no, let's not go over there. That's a scary place. Let's go this way. This way is going to guide you to the best scenes, the best things that you've ever seen in life. This way is going to lead towards joy and fulfillment. Stay out of there. Stay back that way. You're guiding them. That's what making disciples looks like. Just throw out the entire travel agent mindset and become a really good smelling tour guide. That's making disciples. So when you look at it from that way, a good question to ask is, who are you bringing along with you? As a Christian, who are you bringing along with you? Who have you gotten to sign up, and who are you showing the way? See, to make disciples, as we're commanded to, requires doing life with others. It requires community. It requires us getting beyond ourselves. It requires a bit of a commitment. Number five, spray yourself with joy. So you've done some bathings, you've done some scrubbings now, and now you're at the point where you're getting the good smell and stuff in. Spray yourself with joy. John 16:22 says, Jesus will rise from the dead and no one will take away your joy. No one will take away your joy. Joy is contagious. Think of being around happy people. When your day stinks and you walk into the door of Rage and there's a bunch of happy people that are like, bah! And they hug you and they jump on you and they love on you and they buy you a Monster because that's what we do here. And then they clap for you and you go into the back room and you get more free caffeine. And you're like, oh, I feel amazing. And you feel loved and you feel accepted and you feel welcomed. That joy overflows. And suddenly your bad day doesn't seem that bad. I'm not talking about fake happy people, because once again, the world can tell what's authentic. I'm talking about genuine joy. When you are just in a bad mood and you get around people like that, you may be cranky for a few minutes. If you're really, really stubborn, maybe like 20 minutes. But eventually, they begin to pull the joy out of you. It lifts your spirits. See, the joy of the Lord, the joy that Jesus gives us, drives our hearts and navigates us through the smelly things of life. It allows us to come through without being bathed in that stench. It allows us to come through smelling like Jesus. And I want you to get true joy is not dependent on your circumstances, but on the one who's bigger than your circumstance. It's not based on what you experience. It's based on the one who's bigger than anything you could experience. If you want true joy, it's only found in Jesus. But you need to bend your heart to him. Allow him to have control and to change your mindset. Philippians 4:8. Write that down in your notes. Go home and read it. Number 6. You want to smell like Jesus? Begin to rub yourself with forgiveness. And now when I was thinking of this, the verse that came to mind, Colossians 3:13, says to forgive one another. And if anyone has an offense, forgive as you have been forgiven by Jesus. Forgive others as you've been forgiven. And now in the winter, my hands get really dry and they begin to crack. And the more I'm in the cold, the more they begin to split, the more they begin to crack, and it hurts. It's like, man, the only way to really take care of that is to use some lotion. I'm not talking about like Bath and Body Works lotion. I'm talking about like Manly unscented lotion. Whether unscented or not doesn't make a difference, because even unscented, I think it just smells like a baby. I don't know. Lotion only works. You can't just grab the bottle and be like, why do my hands still hurt? It's like this. You're like, come on. You're going to make it worse. It works when you open it up and you begin to rub it in to your hands. And when you begin to use it every day, in time, it begins to soften and it begins to heal. Forgiveness is like lotion for your heart. When you operate in unforgiveness, your heart begins to get dry. It begins to crack. It gets super sensitive. It gets agitated. It hurts. Forgiveness, if you allow it to rub into your heart, and you can get it in there and you can keep being in the place of forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. When you choose to forgive, it begins to soften that heart and it begins to heal it. Now, forgiveness is just as much for you as it is for the other person. But I want you to get something. Some of you are like, yeah, but this comes down like that person was wrong. Okay, maybe they were. You can be right, but you're going to be alone. You're going to be bitter, and you're going to be angry. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about doing what the Lord commanded and doing what's best for your relationship with Jesus. It says to forgive as you've been forgiven. See, forgiveness is for your own healing. I've spent years in a place of unforgiveness. I've operated in bitterness, and the aroma it gave off was horrible. When you can learn to forgive, when you can walk in that, it's one of the most powerful aromas of Jesus because it encompassed his whole life. He forgave you when he had no reason to, because he wanted a relationship with you. He forgave you when you didn't deserve it. In fact, there's nothing in your life that you've ever done that deserved God to forgive you. But he did it because he loves you. Offered his life for you to make you right with him. Number 7, last point. Clothe yourself. See, after you get all these washings done, you don't just run out the door naked. You got to put on some clothes, okay? You've done some washing. You've done some scrubbing. You've got, you know, some perfume and some lotion on. Like, you're ready. You're ready for this. Put on some clothes, all right? So clothe yourself with the grace that you find in Jesus. Clothe yourself in Jesus. Romans 13, verses 13 through 14. Says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immoralities or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And so some people would look at this as like a holiness issue. They'd say holiness is a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not about that. It's about serving King Jesus. It's about making him proud. And the reason why there is a contrast in this verse is to show you the world operates this way, and you as a Christian are called to be separate. So when you clothe yourself in Christ, there's going to be a distinction. There's going to be something different. It's going to smell different. It's going to look different. It's not going to be just a plain copy. Holiness is allowing yourself to be made more like Christ. It's not do's and don'ts. It's relationship. It's allowing Jesus to give off his aroma through you, to make him more like you. If you want to clothe yourself in Jesus, allow the Holy Spirit to show you areas that you don't yet have covered. You're looking down, you're like, man, I forgot my socks. Can't put on socks without shoes, right? You got to have socks to get the shoes on. If not, you end up sweating more and it causes issues. Allow the Holy Spirit to update your wardrobe, okay? You do not dress like you're 4 years old anymore. As you mature, your wardrobe changes. It's the same way spiritually. Allow yourself to let the Holy Spirit show you some different things. This looks like learning to love what God loves, but hate what he hates. You say, but I thought God was love. God can't hate. Yes, he does. He hates sin. He hates evil. He hates unrighteousness and defiance. But what does he love? Everything that's holy, everything that's pure. God loves people at the core of his nature. He loves all things good. But even in man's sinfulness, even though he hates sin, he took sin upon himself for you. So you could take on the aroma of Christ. So you don't have to be that whitewashed tomb that on the outside looks all right, but on the inside is just filled with death. He took that upon himself. A perfect God coming down here to take on your sin so you can be a pleasant aroma. Clothe yourself in the salvation that Jesus has freely given you. Allow it to wrap around you. Everybody go ahead, bow their heads and close their eyes. So as we wind down tonight, I'm thinking there's some people here who they've never done that. They said, I've never just surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never given my heart to him in the sense of I want him to wash me clean. I feel like that scripture where it says a whitewashed tomb, I feel like maybe people think I have it together on the outside, but inside I'm dying. Inside I'm hurting. Inside there's brokenness and there's pain. Inside I'm a mess. Nobody'd know it. If that's you, I would challenge you to allow Jesus to clothe you tonight. He wants to put on you a robe of royalty. He wants to clothe you in love and mercy and grace. Clothes that are reserved for his children. Because when you give your life to him, that's exactly what happens. You come into the family of God. If that's you, the first timer coming back doesn't make a difference. What matters is you allow God to clothe you tonight. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. Every head down, every eye bowed. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Give it a few more seconds. Thank you. You guys can look up here. For the rest of you, as this message is going through seven different points, there's something in each of our lives that needs washing, that needs cleansing, that needs taken care of. None of us have been made perfect. It says that there is a day that will come when we are made perfect in the sight of Jesus. That means when you're dead, none of you are dead. We all have things to work on. That's what seeking Jesus looks like. It means letting the Holy Spirit begin to challenge us to continually grow to be more like him. So what areas tonight do you need washing? What struggles do you have? Maybe it is forgiveness. Maybe you don't feel the joy of Christ. Maybe you feel anger inside. Maybe you struggle with some form of an addiction or your self-image is negative. You need to know what God says about you, what God thinks when he looks at you. Whatever it may be, I would challenge you tonight to just give it to Jesus. Our text verse, 2 Corinthians, says that Jesus wants to use us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Allow him to put his aroma in you a little bit deeper.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.